All right, we are live for Horror Makes Us Happy live chat number 23, and they can't see you waving because I haven't changed the overlay, but, well, I was going to say if you continue doing that, I'll shift it now, and they can...
You should have just said nothing, and we kept doing it. I mean, that's...
and now you're well, not going to do it. Exactly. I knew that was coming.
I got a different wave. How about this one? Welcome to the Horror Makes Us Happy YouTube live stream.
Yes. If you're joining from our Discord server or Instagram, it looks like our guest this week actually, maybe we're going to have to reschedule. She has not joined yet, but we're leaving it open-ended. Maybe she will join here in a minute. We'll find out. But if she does not, then we'll just have to reschedule and move on as we will. At least at the moment, planning that she will not have joined. What do you want to talk about? What do you what you've been watching this week or reading or doing?
Ants. I want to talk about ants because they're going to take over the government and the world. And no. They're yes, there's ants in my eyes. Yes. They've got so Johnson. Many low prices.
Yes,
I hope. No, I'm not interested. I have not watched any movies about ants. I've been watching a bunch of free stuff on YouTube because, like, my algorithm somehow hopped onto not even YouTube movies, a lot of those weird free movies where they don't describe the title at all. And it's like, this movie was so scary, multiple people had to leave the theater. And you watch, and it's like some Lifetime, like,
Hallmark
horror movie, basically. Yeah. There were some good ones.
they had to leave the movie theater because it sucked so badly.
Yeah, the comments on them are great. Are you sure you didn't mean three people fell asleep in the theater?
Right. Instead of leaving? No? So how did you enjoy those movies?
I forwarded a lot of them. I did not. It was just like, okay, spooky stuff. We're talking about legends. There's a lot of drama and people talking to each other and tense staring faces. And
oh, so I was right about the Hallmark. Kill.
Kind of, yeah. But the worst part is, even though on like YouTube movies, they'll show things like graphic violence and they'll say curse words. In all these free weird YouTube movie channels, they blank out every curse word and they blur out all the violence. Like there's a scene where some chick just got stabbed and there's blood on her shirt, blurred.
Okay, so
it's. Free brain rot shit to run in the background while I work for the day.
Did you accidentally set your region to Japan?
I don't know. Some of them do come up with kanji in the title. It's weird.
Okay.
Check on that. Did watch some legit movies this week, though. I think, what was it I watched? What was it? Oh, we didn't talk about this since last. Did we talk last week about how I watched Le Backrooms?
I don't think you had said anything about it yet last week. I think you were still in the process of getting around to it.
Okay.
So this is going to be the Chris Shits on Things segment of the
That's
of the
show. Right, and I'm not going to fucking hold it back because... Fuck A24 at the moment because of the debacle there. They're not high on the list at the moment. I am not the only one. I enjoy their films. I will continue to enjoy my back catalog of hard copy films, and I hope that they realize that what they're doing is making is a mistake. But money is very powerful and very persuasive, so I don't see that happening. But anyway. I'm not going to fucking soapbox this one. I'm just going to say I saw Backrooms and I didn't like it. I feel it strayed too much away from the original content. And the whole thing about the original Backrooms was the simplicity of it. The spooky, liminal, almost familiar but alien format of it. And the format was important. It was like all these impossible architecture rooms. And they maybe had one weird thing, like a bunch of chairs. Or a car half sunk into the floor, or maybe a bunch of windows. One of them was a large room with just an impossibly huge pool. There was a scene in the film where they had like a seemingly bottomless pit, and that was pretty cool. That kind of looked like the original stuff, but they added too much stuff to it. There was like the garbage bags, the what looked like a bunch of film and sound equipment. There were random things there that seemed to, it was too customized. And I think they did that with the plot too, because Chiwetel Ejiofor's character and his psychiatrist, they added a lot of character development with them, which that sounds weird to be criticizing a film for doing character development.
Right.
That's the thing about the Backrooms, is you don't need character development. You have a spooky, non-real realm, and a person has fallen into it. And all you need to identify with this protagonist and get sucked into the story is
a lack of answers.
What the fuck is happening? Is that feeling? So there's your there's your hero's journey, or lack thereof.
Right. Yeah, it's like a Seinfeld episode. No one learns anything.
Exactly. That was the point. It's a movie about nothing. What's the deal with these hallways?
Oh, God. They go on forever.
Yeah. I'm going to end it there. I'm going to go on a total rant about it. That's, I was not a fan. I had high hopes, and especially because the original creator was so involved in it, but I think it was like a 2- or 3-person writing crew, so somebody steered that in the direction.
Don't know. I don't think I've mentioned this on the live chat yet. Now that I'm thinking about, I think on the last call, Steve Barton had seen it and he was talking about it, and you were talking about how you were going to see it. I almost brought this up at the conversation, just kind of took a left turn and didn't get to bring it up. I think I've shared this once on the podcast on one of our interviews that when I was in my 20s, I was living in the Tampa Bay area, and for a third shift job, I was working at the Florida International Museum, where they had the Titanic exhibit at the time. And it was in a 5-story building on the first floor. The building used to be, I think it was like a Montgomery Ward's. No, it wasn't Montgomery Ward. It was some other local department store, but it was a 5-story building, but the other 5 stories were the disused the other four stories were the disused department store. And so once an hour, it was me and one other guy. We had a control room that had the security cameras and whatnot. And once an hour, we would take turns. Like 12 o'clock, he would go for a perimeter check, and then 1 o'clock I would do one, and then 2 o'clock he would do one, and back and forth like that. And all we had was our walkie talkie and flashlight. And the creepy thing about that is it was kind of like the back rooms, except imagine that all of the lights are off and there's only an exit sign that might be lit, one or two of them on every floor.
And it's 4 floors of what would usually be a department store or like a mall layout, and it's completely vacant. There's like no features or anything other than the occasional red exit sign.
Correct.
That's pretty fucking creepy.
Yes. And that also awesome. Keep in mind that it had like 20 or 30 years of, if you ever watch urban exploration videos, the places are all dirty and dusty because nobody's cleaning the place. There's trash everywhere because, you've got 20, 30 years of security guards walking through munching on their, candy bar, and then they just throw the wrapper on the ground because there's no trash can, and who gives a shit. The bathrooms, I think I told you this in the on the podcast, they fill them with this like spray foam stuff so that people won't go to the bathroom in the toilets, because then there's no water. They've got the water turned off, so you don't want people to be like trying to flush things down the toilet. If
because some stuff insulation foam, like the expanding foam shit.
Correct. So
okay.
Well, here's the thing. So like if vandals were to break in and shove stuff down the pipes, then it's cheaper to just replace the toilet that you spray foam into.
Than to try to understand why they did it. Then especially fiscally, that makes sense. It's just the image of it is hilarious, because it is almost a deterrent too, because you don't even have a basin to pee in anymore. It's expanding foam, so it would create this mound that would just bounce the piss back off of you. So that's genius, actually.
You'd find dried shit in some of these. Like people had used them to go to the bathroom. Hey, Ray, you walked in at a perfect time. We're talking about this department store that I used to work at. It was a used department store. Not used, closed, decrepit,
abandoned.
Yeah, no, not even abandoned because it had the museum on the first floor. But the other thing that was creepy about it was the basement. The basement was very interesting because all the other floors had walls to like make rooms and stuff, but the basement was just one big area. I mean, it did have brick pillars every so far, maybe every 50 feet, every 60 feet or something like that to support the building above it, or the floor above it. But it was a dirt floor, no lighting, and this is Florida. Yes, dirt floor.
Well, I mean, you said five stories, so I mean, it can't be dirt floor all.
I'm talking about the basement now.
Dirty floor?
I'm talking about
the basement. Okay.
Yes. You were checking something on your phone. Pay attention.
Yeah, I was looking at the chat.
Yes. So, yeah, the basement had a dirt floor, and because it's Florida, and this is, by the way, it's very close to the pier, so the water table is relatively high there. So, like, you'd get the floor would be wet down there, too. Anyway, it was just, it was super fucking creepy at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Sounds like the basement in the fucking Evil Dead remake. Like,
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Super.
The other thing that was creepy. Dirty,
and actually, there was a lot more water.
The other thing that was creepy about it is, I mean, this, just think about the Titanic exhibit where you've got all these items that they had brought up from the exhibit or from the ocean floor, things that used to belong to somebody who's been dead for 100 years. And just like walking through the entire exhibit by yourself because there's nobody else there. All the lights are turned off again. It's just you and your flashlight. It's fucking creepy as shit. Anyway.
Did you come across any mirrors or anything asking you to find Essacre?
No. Okay. So where I'm going with this, though, is that it would have been... I do like the idea of the back rooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not necessarily what they did in the movie, but the original, you know, concept of it, that liminal space. But I also would have enjoyed if they had done something like that where, okay, you finally get to an area where it's still like the back rooms, but it's now it's decrepit. Like, it hasn't even been in use for...
Okay, like aged back rooms. Yeah, right. I could see that. Yeah, something like that. Like, they even went as far as to remake the, I guess, the houses of the people that went into the back rooms. And there were tables there and, like... pictures on the walls and shit. It was still a liminal space, I guess, because it was different. Things were in the wrong spot, but I don't know. To me, a liminal space is more minimal than that. There's very few. There's just enough details to make it barely familiar, but still uncomfortable.
There's that. There's also this kind of, you know, dating ourselves too thing. Depending on where you live, I guess, in the United States, because like if you live out in the boonies. This is probably more common, but you know, something that people in the cities wouldn't really recognize too much. But, well, I take that back, because if you live in some urban areas, you've got abandoned homes and abandoned buildings that you can do the breaking into and do the urban exploration. But also in some of the areas that are more out in the boonies, you've got, you know, the parts of the woods where you've homeless people have made camp, you know. And from the trailer that I saw of the back rooms, it didn't have that vibe to it, if you know what I mean. It was too clean, even where they had the stuff stacked up. I don't know, it was just something too
clean. Yeah, no, it was still clean. It was still not very moldy or dirty at all, really.
Not even that.
That just kind of is.
Not even just that. Just like trash, you know, like torn up magazines, torn up newspaper, crumpled newspaper. I want to say things like broken sticks and whatnot, but that doesn't really make sense in the back room because you wouldn't have sticks. But, you know, it didn't really feel lived in, at least not the screenshots I saw.
Well, I think that's part of the eeriness, for lack of a better term, of the original Backrooms videos is, it doesn't look lived in. It looks like a place that it shouldn't be. It's that classic... we feel like we're watching something that we shouldn't, or this is something that shouldn't be. It does have that feel that it's like unnatural. So,
I guess you could also make the argument that if it's not lived in, then it's fresh, which also means that whoever would made this should be like right around the corner.
Yeah. It kind of gives that feeling of like still present or still lived in. And they didn't even have the fucking tape monster. It was evil doubles of themselves. They ran around and eat people, and everyone's made out of like what I assume is coconut flavored foam. Looks coconut flavored.
So what else have you watched this week?
Another shitty movie. There's a new shark movie that came out. People just can't seem to get it right with these shark movies. Dangerous Animals was probably the best, the last good shark movie I saw. I liked that one. That was good. Jai Courtney, fucking creepy as hell. It was really good. Deep Water, though, came out recently. It's about a plane crash and people that kind of like the USS Indianapolis, you know, they get picked off after the plane crash because they're floating around in the water. But right. It was just, it was Aaron Eckhart, I think. I don't know. The guy who's in all the disaster movies that one guy always makes, and he's got a butt chin. Him, Ben Kingsley, and then a bunch of other people, and some of them died. And it was an odd movie. It felt like it may have been written by AI. I don't know. There's like the movie is about shark attack after a plane crash. But while the plane is going down, they're playing this like endless ensemble of strings and chords, like this like super dramatic pull at your heartstrings music. Like this is the end of the film and the plane's going down. They're like, if we go down, I go down with you. And it's just like, what are you doing? Why are we doing this music? The movie's got like another 60 minutes. What are we? This is a shark movie. This is the prelude to what the movie is about. Why are you playing this is the end of the movie music? Okay.
I mean, it's an emotional moment for the characters.
Yeah, yeah, they I'm think sure that's they're gonna why die. They did it. Yeah, yeah. But you was like, the score is more for the audience. So you as the audience know they're not going to die because there's 60 minutes of this movie.
Well, but they're trying to help you feel what the
cast is. Enhance feeling. The experience.
Well, have you feel what the cast is feeling.
True. It was very cliche. There was lots of cliche stuff, and not enough sharks, really.
It's a shark movie. How do you have a shark movie that doesn't have cliches at this point?
No, you can't really have a shark movie that doesn't have cliches, because there are cliches about shark movies, so, you know. Right,
yeah. Anyway.
Before that one, I watched Chum, another shark movie, which was kind of a knockoff of Dangerous Animals. It was about a guy who kidnaps people, and his story is a little different. He's kind of like an Ahab. His daughter or wife or something was killed by this great white, so he's hunting it, and the shark has gotten a taste for human flesh now, so that's the only thing he can use for bait, so he has to kidnap people to use for bait to catch the shark. But it's just like, oh, this is the one I sent you the image of. This is the one where it was basically an AI-generated shark the whole time. Right. I swear to God, it changes from the size of a decently large great white, which is like about, you know, a foot and a half to 2 feet wide, maybe 10 feet long, to the size of a fucking sedan. Its face was as wide as a sedan as it bit this guy and dragged him off the boat. And it doesn't stop there. The whole movie, it's just like, okay. It was very bad.
Tell us how you really feel, Chris.
No, because we'd be here for another half an hour. In upcoming new movie news, there's a movie called... Jesus, is it called The Bay? How'd they get away with that? There's a found footage film called The Bay, which is way better. Another shark movie. Looks like shit. It's people on a wedding honeymoon, and the groom or the groom's friend or something talks the bride and some chicks to going into this shark feeding experience in not a shark cage, not a boat that looks sturdy or anything. It's like a very touristy, capsizable-looking boat, and it looks cliche and dumb. I'm sorry.
I don't know that anybody watching shark movies at this point is looking for an I'm looking for something performance.
Like on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm looking for a 6 at least. Can you put forth that much effort into not being derivative from other things?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is at this point, it's also derivative that I don't think you can get. Well, maybe
you can. But, you can be derivative, but with quality. Like honestly, if the twist of the guy kidnapping people to feed to sharks with him having a revenge plot, if that was done well, if it wasn't done with Asylum Pictures level skill.
Don't know.
I'm going to actually get into movie production one of these days, and this YouTube channel is going to be my end because people are going to go, look at you! Where is you sitting on other people's work?
Right. Or you'll realize how hard it is and then go, oops. Sorry.
Thing to Marcus, long time ago when I started getting into it, Mr. Marcus Cook, he told me, and one golden rule is don't be a dick. That's it. Just don't be a dick.
Right. Or as Mr. Lucky McKee put it, just be kind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of those kind of work. Yes. We talked to Lucky McKee.
Yes, we did.
Awesome. We should get him on the live stream.
I have not reached out to, I think he was in the fifth season. I don't know if I've reached out to the
gotten
fifth
there
season
yet.
Yeah. What's up, Big Chungus? Welcome to the chat.
No, Big Chungus.
No. What else? How's the comic coming?
Oh, it's going there. It's getting there. I'm currently still in the chapter 2 of Snares, Lexa, and still drawing away at the scene where Snare kidnaps Lexa from her house. So we're not even at the Snare Ranch where all the bloody stuff happens yet, but working on it.
Oh, there's some bloody stuff that happened.
Was there? Oh, yeah! Your head exploded like a pinata.
I don't even think pinatas explode like that.
I don't think they do. No, it was more like a... it was more like one of those... you know when the kids take the rubber bands and they put them on a watermelon and they see how many rubber bands they can do? It was like that.
Yes. It was like... what was the guy's name? With the sledgehammer? Shit. The comedian.
Gallagher.
Yes. Yes. What else can we talk about? I don't remember whether or not we had chatted about StokerCon very much since I got back from that. If I hadn't mentioned this on previous live chat, I came back with about 20 friggin' books from StokerCon. I think I purchased 10 of them from prior guests who've been on our show. Got most of them autographed. Probably picked up about another 10 off of the freebies table that books are being put out over the weekend. So we are now up to like 34 or 35 books in the horror book giveaway. And we've still got like 10 or 12 DVDs as well. As you, whenever you get around to sending me the stack of DVDs that you were going to throw into the giveaway, I'll add those. But
it's right over there.
Yes.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. So we've got at least 30 or 40 things in the book and DVD giveaway. If you have not registered for that yet, just go to our website, horrormixithappy.com. On the front page, there's a link that says join our mailing list. Click on that. It'll ask for your email address. But definitely do check your spam email folder after you do that, because you'll then get an email that says click on this link to confirm your registration, and you have to do that, otherwise it doesn't actually register you. So, but today or yesterday, I sent out picked a winner, sent out an email, got that back, so I will be sending out a book sometime this week to get it out to them. They live in India, actually. Yes. I think
we pay the shipping and handling on that?
Yes, Mira. What's that?
Do we pay the shipping and handling on that?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that heavy. It's a book. So,
yeah,
I double checked with them that they would be willing to pay the, if there's a value added tax, that they'd be willing to cover that. Like she said that she would. Mm. So we'll send it out.
VAT.
VAT. VAT.
Not VAT. That's what I said. VAT. Oh. I said VAT.
Sound like you said fat.
No.
Okay. What else?
As far as Discord server news, we are still in the process of watching Ash vs. Evil Dead. We are on season 2, I think 2 episodes to go on that. It's a cool show. It's fun. It's a Sam Raimi joint, so there's lots of blood. Lots of blood in people's faces.
Yes.
And Lucy Lawless. Xena.
And Lucy. Yes.
She's kind of evil in this one. Like, somebody asked me the other day we were watching it. Is she a bad guy or a good guy? I'm like, she's kind of...
Yes.
She is a bad guy who helps them. She's, like, pretty much always a villain throughout the whole show, but she helps them for some reason. Because
she needs their help.
Because plot, as pitch meetings would say.
We recently passed 800 members on the Discord server. Woot woot.
Yeah, nice.
Yep.
What are we going to do for...
1,000?
888.
Oh.
We got to do some crazy 8 stuff. And... Everyone has to do 8 shots.
Oh, God.
Each one a different liquor, back to back.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh. They call it the 8 horsemen of Dear God, why did I do this?
Right. Yes. No. Pass.
Same.
We'll not be doing that. I wouldn't even do 8 shots of the same liquor. That's... No.
I don't think I've ever done 8 shots in a single night.
I mean...
Maybe like Jello shots. Like something candy liquor like that.
Well, there's that. But I mean, I've drunk a lot of Captain Morgan. Captain Coke is my jam.
I guess when I used to go like fang and quite a lot of that. Yeah. Like mixed drinks. Or like 2 to 3 shots each drink. So... I probably drank the equivalent of 8 shots, but not... Right.
Not just straight shots back to back. No. That's a bit much.
Oh, there's a new another trailer for Evil Dead Burn dropped that I just watched, and that looks really good. I may have to actually go see that in theaters.
Okay. I have not seen that.
This is an example of good derivative. There's some stuff in there that's a little derivative of other Evil Dead films. Mm-hmm. But it's more of an homage derivative, and it looks good. And it looks like they actually have a book in this one, which I like. A mini soapbox rant. Evil Dead Rise. Not a fan of a lot of it. I didn't like the fact that the book was a record this time, and they played it by spinning it backwards, which, if you're any kind of DJ or vinyl aficionado, you can clearly see that when they are spinning the record backwards, they're spinning it forwards. Clockwise.
Of course, a DJ would pick that up.
Yeah. Well, the kid who gets the vinyl is a practicing DJ, so you should get stuff right. Is all I'm saying. But that was the thing in Evil Dead Rise was the book was a vinyl record that they found when they spun it backward. It said the incantation that unleashes the book.
But of course,
this one looks like an actual bound in human flesh book, which is good. I think that one had a book that was bound in human flesh too. Why'd they even do that?
I thought all of the Necronomicons were.
It is. Yeah. No, Evil Dead Rise looks good. It looks good. There's a family of that all become possessed deadites. So, yeah.
Oh, shoot. What was I going to say? There was something I was going to bring up. Fuck. Oh. Something that I heard today that we could briefly chat about. We did not talk about this with Mr. Barton last week when he joined us, but he had sort of vague posted on Facebook last week about having heard some news that he was not... get into.
Hmm? Yeah, he's not connected to that, though, right? This is another person contesting the art design, as it will?
No, this is completely different. Yeah, apparently, well, it's not the art design. It's that, I guess, the first movie that they did.
Mm.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of it now off the top of my head.
It was Terrifier, but it was part of...
no, before that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
it was part of an anthology that was like 9-something, 9 from Hell.
Yeah, it had something 9 in it. But anyway, that one. I guess what they're claiming, and they're taking to court... is that that company, there's some company that is claiming that Damian had signed over the rights to that for $5,000. And that those rights also included any derivative works and future works.
You know, that's...
Yeah.
Including the likeness of Arthur Clown. That just doesn't sound right to me. Even as far back as the first iteration of art, I would think someone would offer more than $5,000 for that IP. Like,
I'm not commenting on the merits of the case. That'll be for a judge and potentially a jury to decide. But it is a very interesting development that the clip that I saw online about it earlier today. What are you yawning?
Stop that.
Yeah, I know. It's a problem with these live chats. During a normal call, we would just edit that out. What was I going to say? The video that I was watching commented that this is not completely uncommon for like horror movies. Like part of the whole problem that the Halloween franchise went through is there was a lot of rights issues with that. She mentioned another franchise that I can't remember the name of off the top of my head. But so,
Friday the 13th, Child's Play.
I think she might have said Child's Play.
Yeah.
So that's not completely unheard of in the genre, but it does raise an interesting wrinkle that is going to need to be ironed out.
Like I said, when you sent this to me earlier, my first inclination was, well, this is going to affect the production of Terrifier 4.
Potentially, yeah. But yeah, the company is apparently claiming that they own the rights to T2 and T3, so you would assume that also means T4, so...
Yeah. I don't know. My two cents, just the feeling of it is, it reminds me of the this recent album with the Scream franchise too. There was a company that came out and said they were the original owners of the Scream mask, and I think that got like settled out of court and fizzled out or something, or their claim was defeated, and I just have a feeling that this is going to go that same direction. I think.
Don't know.
$5,000. Just no, I don't believe it.
I mean, that apparently happened before T2 was even made, so it's plausible.
Hmm. Yeah. It's possible. It's not plausible.
I will go as far as to say it is also plausible.
$5,000.
It's possible that there was some language in there that he was agreeing to that he didn't realize was in there when he signed it.
Yeah. When you sign something, always have a lawyer read it.
Yep.
They speak contractees.
Speaking of which, unrelated to horror, but a very good close friend of mine just sent me a link earlier today that her son released an album and put it on Spotify, and she sent me the link to it, and I guess he's going to be doing some sound design for some video game company that he's working with. I asked for more information. I didn't get clarity on whether or not it's like an actual company or if it's just like a bunch of, you know, college friends who are hanging out making a video game, but she was worried that he was going to get screwed over and, you know, sign away royalties on the whole music thing, and I was telling her, you know, get a contract lawyer, and but I don't know where that left off, because I had to close the chat to come here, do this. So we'll see where that goes. What time is it? 8 after 10 or 10 after 8?
Same thing.
Yeah. 8 after 10, 10 after 8. Yeah.
10 of 8?
Yes.
Or is it, would it be 50 of 9?
Yes,
technically. Off past.
Yeah. A monkey's ass quartered to his balls. This is getting demonetized.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, but I figured my new background would probably get us demonetized as well with the acid brain artwork there.
You know, I saw that back there, but you're covering up enough of it with your body that
exactly. Yeah. No, just don't lean over that. But you going to be demonetized for a couple of reasons, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, potentially, if for no other reason than the cursing.
Yes. Fuck.
Just nail that coffin in. Or hammer that nail in.
Yeah, gotta make it sure. Right, gotta make sure.
What else has been going on?
Just Joker. Is halfway to Halloween.
This is true. I've been seeing some Summerween postings going around the socials.
I think there's a movie called Summerween.
I think so.
Maybe.
Right. Sounds vaguely familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think what other news is related to the podcast.
I'm going to be working on my webcomic live streaming at 9 p.m. Eastern if you want to join me on the server.
That's actually why I was looking at the clock to see how long we had.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, we can probably end this one early if nothing else.
Nothing's popping up. I also pulled up while you were talking. I was pulling up some websites to see if there's any news that we wanted to talk about. I think you would say
thankfully something. No RIP or this year or this week. That's good.
There's that. Well, nobody that we know of anyway yet. Yeah. I think you mentioned Hungry.
Hungry is finally on digital. I've been searching for it. Yeah, it's it looks like basically that movie Crawl with all the alligators in Florida, but with a hippo.
Right.
Yeah. Which looks pretty good.
Scrolling.
Did you know that hippos are what cetaceans were originally like, and that's the landmass equivalent of them that stayed on land? I always thought it was elephants.
I mean, there's a shared ancestor that hippos and whales both evolved from, yes.
Yeah. And it split off into whales. And then when it stayed on land, I think it split off into hippos and elephants.
Yep.
Which,
I mean, when you think about it, makes sense because hippos, they're more aquatic than land, pretty much.
They are and they aren't. They do not swim. They don't know how. They just are really good at holding their breath and can run really fast underwater. Yes. Yeah. Like, they just kind of looked at the common core math of how to swim, and they're like, "Nah, fuck that. I'm going to do this."
And despite their appearance, they're able to do that run on the ground in the water because they're not fat. That's all muscle. So they sink like a stone.
They can run underwater like 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's all muscle. Hippos are no joke, man. Like, what's the bear thing? If it's brown, lie down. If it's black, fight back. If it's white, nighty night.
Yeah.
Hippos are in the 99th category. If you see a hippo in the wild and you're not in a car or, you know, just not protected, goodbye.
Oh, while scrolling through the news, I did find there was somebody. I forgot someone who did pass away. George Romero's wife, Suzanne, passed away.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Okay, there is an RIP in horror this week.
And on that news, good night.
Not good news. Yes.
No. No questions from chat. I think we covered everything that we wanted to cover. So, yeah, we probably close this one early and send everybody over to the Discord server for your drawing party tonight.
Okay. Come on and come on down. We got ants in my eyes and drawings and stuff and. Let's go watch and see if I can draw with ants in my eyes.
All right, no ants in your eyes, Johnson.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we will call that a day then.
Yep.
Have a good night.
Cheers.
Bye.